Okay. Tonight I want to talk about the evening news. Now, a lot of you may be in the habit of watching the evening news, but I have in mind the night the shepherds got caught up on what was happening. Little did they know that everything in their world was about to change. And I'm going to read the scripture for you, then we're going to come back and just focus on a couple of verses. But if you would, just even though you may have heard it time after time after time, listen to this account out of Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. And how I thank you, Lord, for how you made known to these shepherds such good news. And Lord, I thank you that what you did that night in bringing forth your son has changed our lives this night. We glorify you as these shepherds did. We give praise to you. And Lord, may as we journey into these next several days ahead of us through this holiday time that we call Christmas, may we be mindful of what you've done for us, who Jesus is to us. And may we bear the message these shepherds did, and may others come to know you as we have. And Lord, if someone's in this room tonight or who perhaps is watching this live stream and they don't know you, I ask that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you, that they would be beckoned by your Spirit and by your Word to kneel before Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Him as their Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Evening news. Let's look at these two verses particularly again. It's when the angel said in verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now the verses that I read in the beginning, they're just full of revelation and full of principles and truths that can change our lives. But I want us to kind of drill in on these two verses tonight with this idea of the angel appearing and announcing the news, if you will, to these shepherds. I want us to consider from these two verses this announcement that was made. And the first thing that I want to share with you, if you're keeping notes, is that it was an angelic announcement. Look at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, just as we learned on Sunday morning that an angel appeared to the Virgin Mary, and in that message I also alluded to the occasion when the same angel, Gabriel, had appeared to Zacharias, the father of John, who would be born to he and Elizabeth. And then Joseph, after Mary has an appearance and Zacharias had an appearance, Joseph, in thinking about what he's going to do with this situation with this young girl he's espoused to, and he finds out she's pregnant, the Lord visited him. It says that he had a dream, but it says an angel came to him in a dream. And this, particularly if you look at Joseph, the legal earthly father of Jesus, if you look at his life, the revelation, God's primary way of speaking to him was he would have a dream and an angel would come and visit him in the dream he had and give him revelation about what he was to do. Take this young woman to be your wife. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's cool. I'm doing this, Joseph. Marry her. And then later, he has another dream, and he's warned to flee Bethlehem and go to Egypt. And then later, he has a dream, and he's told, okay, you can go back now that Herod has died. And he had these angelic encounters. It's amazing how the Christmas story is surrounded by people. This was such an epic event in human history. The event of all events, God becoming a man in the form of a baby in the womb of a virgin by the seed of God implanted in her supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, that God dispatches angels left and right to prepare people for what he's doing. And to guide them and give them directions. And once again, on the very night Jesus is born, an angel. Now, we're not told which angel, but an angel appeared to these shepherds. And after he delivers the initial news, the big news, it says a multitude of heavenly hosts joined him. In other words, they saw a multitude of angels. Heard them singing. Now, I remember a number of years ago, was in Valley de Angles, the Valley of the Angels, it's called, north of Tegucigalpa, Honduras. There may be a couple of you here that was in that meeting. I know Sarah was in that meeting. Some of the rest of you may have been. But we were having a meeting. We saw so many signs and wonders that week. But one night during the worship, just a tin roof building, and there was probably 150 or so people in the room, and just worship. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the worship that we had been hearing and enjoying and engaging in, it's like there were three times more voices all of a sudden that started filling that room. It was such a holy moment. You could feel the thick, weighty presence of God's glory. And I really believe with all my heart that what was happening, the angels were joining in the worship. And it's like heaven and earth, God's creatures here below and those above were joining together in glorifying the Lord through our worship. It was amazing. Well, here are these shepherds that are living in the field, watching over their sheep. I mean, this is pioneer living, nomadic living, out under the starry heavens. They didn't have a clue that this was going to be a night that an angel appeared to them. But it was one of the suddenlies of God. Here's the messenger. And then all of a sudden, surrounded by a multitude of angels, it was an angelic announcement. Now, just for instance, if you had been sitting at home before you came to church tonight, you flipped on the 5:30 news and they said they were having the news, and all of a sudden they said, Wait a minute, folks. We've just got news from Waterloo, Alabama. There was a group of guys out there fishing in Waterloo. And all of a sudden they saw a bright light from up in the sky, and it came down in their midst, and a man stepped out. Somebody from outer space stepped out and started talking to them. Why, you would probably say, you know, somebody call the wagon. I'll keep this guy busy till he gets here. You know, but this is the kind of stuff that happened that night. It was an angelic encounter, a supernatural visitation. Yes, from outer space, from the third heavens, the dwelling place of God, coming down through the heavens that surround the earth and where the spaceships fly, down in the atmosphere where the birds fly, onto the field where the shepherds were shepherding. And we know what happened to them. Their knees started knocking because the angel, one of the first things he says, do not be afraid. Why? Because that's what happens to us. You have an encounter like this. Do not, it's an angelic encounter. The second thing I want you to notice, that it was a birth announcement. He says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to you, to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God sent an angel from heaven to earth to make a birth announcement. Now here, that's a pretty big deal for people. But this is the deal of all big deals. I know on Facebook a lot of times you'll say somebody announces we're going to have a reveal party. I didn't know what that was for a while. You know, where they'll explode something. It'll be blue smoke or pink smoke, you know. I don't know. Well, I won't go there. I'll just stick right there. Okay. And they do all these reveal parties. Well, this was a reveal party. There's a baby that's been born. It's a boy, a son. So it was a birth announcement. I remember where I was when I found out that Mickey was pregnant with our first child, Andrew. And I was digging a ditch on a construction site, and they came out, and her dad did, to the construction site, and said that you need to talk to somebody, and we actually talked on the telephone. And I'm holding my shovel, and I can't tell you what it felt like on the inside. I'm going to be a daddy. I'm going to be a daddy. A birth announcement. A birth announcement. A baby's born. God's the father. And a virgin's the mother. Now that's some kind of news right there. Now, and the third thing I want you to notice, look, it's a good news announcement. That just needs to be said because it's said right here in the scripture. I bring you good tidings of great joy. It was a good news announcement, and it's for all people. Good news. Good news. And he goes on to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. I love that part of the Christmas story when the angels join around and they're singing, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's one place where it tells us God's will for people is good. The announcement that a baby was born, that was good news for everybody. It was God's will to share goodness with people. We believers are the good news people. We live in a world of fake news. This wasn't fake news, this was true news. We live in most of the news. You turn on the news, it's going to be bad news. It's going to be sad news. It's going to be mad news. But this is good news. Have you noticed that good news doesn't seem to sell for some reason? Good news, it walks to where it wants to go. But bad news, they'll give it a freight train ticket, put it on there, and send it at the speed of light around the world. That's because the world is being influenced by the God of this age, God with a little g, the prince of the power of the air. But we have the capability as the good news people to release the message about the one the angel is talking about to the shepherds and get breakthrough in the atmosphere, get breakthrough in the communication. We've got the best news the universe has to offer, the church. That's the reason there's so much warfare against the church to change our message. Just make it about this. Make it about that. Make it about all this stuff that's going on out there. And anything but make it about Jesus, because at the end of the day, at the end of the age, when it's all sewn up, all that's going to really matter is what have you done with Jesus Christ. And if you want to look for a message that'll put the world right, that'll change the human heart, that'll get the things that are out of sorts back in line, it will be tethered to, centered in, founded on the revelation of who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is one of the greatest events in human history, and it was the announcement that He's here. Jesus is here. Christ is here. And folks, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our message has not changed. Our mission has not changed. Our mandate has not changed, and there will never be anything so important that we have to lay down the call of the gospel and pick up something else. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean there's not other issues that are not important, but they must not be eclipsed when it comes to the task of the church, to our lifting up Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's good news. It's good news. All you've got's bad news without Him. The next thing I want you to notice, I guess I could actually use my notes, is it's a life-changing announcement. Notice, He said, for you to is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The Greek word there is soter. It's the root word in a personalized form where we get soteria, salvation. Theologians use the term soteriology. It's the study of salvation. But soter means salvation, to be saved. It can be used in our human dynamics where someone can say, pull a drowning person up out of the water and save them. Here, it is in the, if you will, the penultimate sense. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The only Savior in this sense. The one who brings to us forgiveness of sin. Why? Because we are lost. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Our sins separate us from God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's the term soter, our Savior, means there's one who now has come who can reverse the curse, who can triumph over the enemy that seduced Adam and Eve, restore to us God's original intent, and work through us to share the message with a lost and dying world. A Savior. It's a life-changing announcement. There's never been one other than Him. There'll never be another other than Him. He is the Savior of the world. And I believe with all my heart the Word of God teaches that when Jesus died on the cross, that He became the propitiation for our sins. But listen, not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross as Savior, His death was sufficient to save any man, woman, boy, or girl who would ever call on His name, who has ever lived, ever would live. It was sufficient for the whole world. but it's only efficient to those who believe. In other words, it's available, but it is not applicable until you believe. He's the Savior. I am not of the camp that would say Jesus only died for certain people. He did die for the elect. But really what that means is that God elected that all those that would be saved in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you study the book of Ephesians, the idea of elect there is in the corporate sense. He's talking about, yes, God elected that it would be through Christ that people would be saved. So those who come to Christ are the saved ones. And so He's the Savior. That's a life-changing announcement. All roads lead to religion? Well, all religions will lead you to God, but when you stand before God, only one thing He's going to accept is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether you're religious or not, you will stand before God. Read Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. Everybody will. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you'll have no part of heaven with God. You'll spend an eternity separated from God in a place the Bible describes as hell. But the good news is you don't have to. The good news is there's a way out. The good news is there's a Savior. And so the shepherds were given this life-changing announcement that a Savior was born. Also, notice it was a prophecy-fulfilling announcement. He said, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why? Why was it important that the announcement was made that, hey, He's born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem was the city of David. Why is that important? It was prophesied. I'm astounded at how often the Bible talks about David. Did you know that more than 1,100 times in the Word of God, you'll find the name David? Now think of it. The 66 books of the Bible, and there is a man that so captured the heart of God, or who was so captured by, his heart was captured by God, that his name is mentioned over 1,100 times in the Bible. That's a pretty high value truth. 54 times in the New Testament, David is mentioned. In the birth narratives, you see it over and over again. Luke points out that Jesus' lineage through Mary was through the house of David. Matthew points out in the genealogies that Jesus' lineage through Joseph was the house of David. Why? Because God made a promise to David that he would his lamp would not go out, and there would be a descendant of his on the throne forever. And you find in the New Testament the mention of the seed of David, the root of David, the offspring of David, the tabernacle of David, the key of David, the sure mercies of David, the horn of deliverance of the house of David. The house of David, the city of David, all this in our New Testament teaching that we are to be governed by. David has a key role there because God made a promise. He made a promise. And that's important for us to understand. This was a prophecy-fulfilling announcement. He's born where it was prophesied by Micah that He would be born. And Bethlehem, in its own right, though a little out-of-the-way place, though it was Nowheresville, it's where God chose for his son to be born. And these shepherds, if you were to socioeconomically make you a kind of an index, they would be down here on the bottom. That's in their culture that they lived in. But they're the first ones to get in on it. Doesn't that tell you something about God's heart? It's not just the kings. And the, I mean, if you were to set it up, you wouldn't do it that way. We talked about this Sunday. But little Bethlehem and the shepherds in a manger? I mean, like, hey, where's the Marriott? Call presidents and the kings and the ambassadors. All the leaders of the world, bring them together. God's about to do something big. That's not what God did. He chose out in the middle of a field, probably on a night when they're shivering and watching over their sheep like they did every other night most of their lives. But this night, the angel appeared and prophecy was fulfilled. It was also a governmental announcement. This day is born to you in the city of David, a Savior, Christ. That's another, by the way, prophecy fulfilling. He was prophesied to be the Messiah. Do you know that Alfred Edersen said that there's 456 messianic prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled? But whether you go with his list or not, they're very conservative. There's over 300 messianic prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Like where he is going to be born, all this one thing after the other, his ministry, constantly things were happening that had been prophesied. Why? God wanted the people to know, yep, this is me. I told you 1,000 years ago through David that this would happen. I told you 700 years ago through Isaiah that this was going to happen. I told you 400 years ago through Malachi this was going to happen. And it happened that way over and over and over and over and over again. Because God watches over His Word to perform it. And when He makes a promise, He fulfills it. And the idea of Christ, the Messiah would be the ruling one, the King of all kings, but also the Lord, Kyrios in the Greek. Lord means the one to whom another person belongs. One to whom all must submit. Ruler, sovereign prince, king. It has that idea. That's its meaning. So this was a governmental announcement. Hey, there's a babe in a feeding trough down the road, and he's the King of kings. He's the Messiah, the hope of Israel. Not only the hope of Israel, but the hope of the whole world. And that's the last thing I want you to notice. It's an all-inclusive announcement. Because he says, this shall be tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And when Simeon, that God had told, you won't die until you see the Messiah, 40 days after Jesus was born, after Mary's purification period had ended, Jesus is carried to the temple, and there comes Simeon. And he got to see it because God told him he would. And he prophesied how he would be a light to the Gentiles. You see, that the idea that God's primary scheme of redemption was just for Israel is errant. Yes, for Israel. But it was always for everybody. God chose through the nation of Israel to raise up a people that would steward His Word, put into action His law, and fill their heart with hope of one who would come. And He began to speak to them about the coming one through the prophets. I shared Sunday how in the Garden of Eden, God prophesied a seed would come through the woman. He told Abraham, through your seed, the whole world would be blessed. He told David, and you see all this being fulfilled. But God's purpose goes all the way back to Adam. Interestingly, Matthew, that focuses on Jesus as king and primarily Jewish in his scope, you see that. But when you get to Luke was the one that traveled with Paul, the apostles of the Gentiles. Matthew takes his genealogy all the way back to Abraham. Abraham, see the Abrahamic promise. But Luke takes his genealogy all the way to Abraham and just kept going back to Noah and then Enoch, Methuselah, all the way back to Seth, the son of Adam. Adam, the son of God. Basically, that's Luke's way of saying, from the very, this one is coming now to redeem all that was lost from the days of Adam. It's for everybody. Good news, this is what he said, the angel said, will be to all people. He said, goodwill toward men, toward humanity, toward all people. The gospel is for the nations. That call is upon us. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. And yes, Israel has been blinded in part, and we've been grafted in. But the Lord, there will come a time when Israel's eyes will be open. I believe there will be a great end time gathering in harvest of Messianic Jews, of Jews turning to Jesus as their Messiah. And that's our prayer, along with Paul, who prayed for that. It's an all-inclusive announcement, and it's good news. You know, and sometimes you may get in situations where, you know, we can get really angry at people for the way they're living. But if you stop and think, they're just living like lost people because they don't know Jesus. And I know sometimes we get really frustrated at people that say they believe in Jesus and living like they don't. But God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If that's God's will, then the scope of the Messiah was come to enact that and make provision for the salvation of all who would repent. I don't see a gospel where people are repenting and God's just doing this. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news. That's for everybody. Anybody you bump into. And we've got to learn to be laser-like in our intercession for people that are living lost people because they're lost. God saves the wicked. God saves those bound by lies. God saves those infested with demons. God saves those that have never heard, that hear for the first time. Isn't that amazing? And you may find it amazing that there is still perhaps as many as north of a billion people who have yet to ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're studying through the book of Acts on Thursday mornings at 10. We'll be here in the morning. And we're in Acts 5, and tomorrow we'll see one of those sections where the supernatural healings occurring, and it says, and multitudes of people were believing. And this is happening right after two people dropped dead in church for trying to lie to the Holy Spirit. That was life in the early church. And I'm not praying for people to start dropping dead, but let's pray that people would come alive. Amen? Because this gospel, I read today that there are 2.56 billion people who now identify as Christian in this world. This year, 93 million copies of the Bible will be printed. The most dramatic global growth for Christians is among charismatic Christians. In 1900, less than 1 million people around the world identified as Pentecostal or charismatic. By 2050, they say that number will top 1 billion. It's the fastest growing segment, if you will, of Christianity. Isn't that something? Over 2.5 billion people who are Christians. Estimate. Are you one of them? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I didn't ask if it was on a church roll or in a directory, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? These shepherds immediately, the cat's out of the bag. You'll find a babe in Bethlehem in a manger. That helped them. They didn't need GPS for that, you know. And that's something they ran by the houses and they're looking for stables. Boom. And they find Him. If people knew how good Jesus is, they'd come running. They'd come running. And maybe if our depth of passion were deeper, we might more often be found running after them to tell them. I want you to stand with me tonight. Bow your heads for just a moment. Our prayer team members are coming. We just celebrate God's goodness tonight. So grateful for the gift of His Son. I pray you know Him. And I would think that most people in the room do, but if you don't, please come and let some of our brothers and sisters just pray with you. If you've got a burden on your heart tonight, you need someone to pray with you. And we're not completely unaware that as meaningful as this time of year is for most people, for some people it's really hard. It's really difficult. For some it may be your first Christmas without that loved one that has gone on. For some there may be pain in your heart because there's a separation in some way that's occurred from family or friends or relatives. And your heart's torn about that. Could be a thousand different things tonight, but if there's some heaviness on your heart or just a need for prayer, we don't want you to feel alone. We don't want you to feel like there's no help available. I'm telling you that God loves you and we do too. And we'd love to pray with you, just minister to you. You just step out from where you are right now and come on up. And these are waiting. We're about to begin worshiping. But feel free to come. God's leading you to be a part of this fellowship. We welcome you to come. If you've not followed the Lord in baptism, we invite you to come and we'll set up a time for that. Whatever your need may be, God's will toward you is good. Peace to you. God's will is that we have peace. As we sing, would you come? Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, rejoice.
Are there others you come?
Sing joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May I lift my voice.
And as he comes, I just feel like for some reason that there's some moms in the room that, and there's some, and maybe sons, but particularly daughters that are on your heart tonight. And if you could, in gift form, wrap something up and give that to them, and that would represent what you feel like they most need in their life, what would that be? It might be a healing, it might be a deliverance, it might be a breakthrough, but what would that be for you? Would you take a moment and ask God to release that gift to them? To stretch out His hand and touch them? Don't underestimate the power of your intercessory prayers for your children. It's so wonderful to see God answering prayers in your children's lives. Well, we thank God for 2022 and all the blessings that have flowed into our lives here at Grace House. So grateful for that. And we'll regather next Wednesday night for Hot Chocolate Fellowship just to connect. We'll start the new year together here on New Year's Day. Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Mickey and I will be online for a few minutes to connect with you. And you can check on Facebook. And we'll also try to put that on, have it on YouTube as well, our channel there. But God bless you. Pastor Doc, we love you. Would you come and share what's on your heart and pray the blessing over us.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you with all our heart for the word we heard tonight. The good news. Thank you, Lord, for the good news. Thank you for the joy that came with it. Thank you, Lord, for this Wednesday night. The people that have gathered, and for those that couldn't come, we would pray for them. We thank you, Lord, that we're not living in a fallen world without hope. I'm glad, Lord, that every one of us can say, when I get up in the morning, I'll have hope because Christ, the hope of the world, lives in my heart. And I thank you, Lord, for the good news. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship. Thank you for Pastor Eddie and Mickey and the leadership here. Thank you for this year. It's gone by so quickly. Lord, you know this. Many, many in this congregation have fought a lot of battles this year. But Lord, we confess because we believe not one of them did we fight alone. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness, that we've seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. And thank you, Lord, for the blessings that have been ours. Thank you for this every precious individual here tonight. May the days as they unfold before us, as we celebrate with family and friends the joy of this season, that we may know your presence in the joy of our salvation. Now I pray for each of you. To each of you, may the Lord Jesus bless you. may keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon each of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said amen. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.